Welcome to Loud House Podcast. I'm Dominic, and I'm joined with Chris.
What's up, guys?
I'm also joining with Xander.
What's up?
And that, last but not least, Lorenzo.
Yes, sir.
We discuss trending news like sports, music, and much more. Today, our first topic is about the NFL. And this is coming right now with the trade rumors that Kenny Stills is supposed to be traded somewhere else or cut. This has happened today. What team do you think, or do you think that Kenny Stills is going to get traded at all from the Texans?
I don't think he's going to get traded because of that. It's a rumor because Roby, he tweeted out. Was it a tweet or was it? What was it?
It was a tweet. He said that nope. He said nope. That's all he said about the tweet, saying, trying to say that Kenny Stills was going to get traded because he didn't like Bill O'Brien or he wanted to get dropped immediately from it.
Well, no one likes Bill O'Brien, so.
I mean, I feel like if we trade him for anything, it has to be a pick or somebody.
Has to be first round.
Yeah, nah, I don't know if
he, I don't think could,
I don't,
get
I don't
a
know
first
if we could get.
There
a first
was a
round.
Lot of people saying that he's deserving of a late first round pick. That's what they were saying and everything like that. That's what was going on. And also, y'all didn't hear about the OBJ trade.
No, I didn't
that OBJ is probably going to I'm trying to remember the team, the Vikings.
Wow.
For a second and a fourth round pick. That's what I'm also hearing from when I was looking at Twitter today.
Does he want out of the Browns? Like
he's probably a disruption in the locker room. Probably hard to play with player.
Most likely, and also you hear what OBJ saying during the regular season that he was telling quarterbacks saying, get me out of here. That's what he was saying to Tom Brady and everybody else that he played against. He even gave the shoe to Tom Brady and said, that's my quarterback. Instead of saying to Baker Mayfield that's his quarterback.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably also the reason why the OBJ is probably getting traded. But remember, the Vikings is going to be a beast. It's going to be a beast team if they have OBJ because, I mean, Adam Thielen. I mean, I really don't trust Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football, this is a beast team. They have Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, and they still have a decent defense. I mean, Xavier Rhodes is now on the Indianapolis Colts now.
Dalvin Cook was like second or third in rushing.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you put in OBJ, then, man, that's going to be a beast team coming up right there. I mean, I didn't hear any other trade rumors. It's been quiet recently for the NFL since, you know, this whole incident is going on now. So, you know, I don't hear any trade rumors. But so
personally, I still feel like the Texans should trade on draft night either Merciless or JJ for hopefully like another second or third.
I don't think they're gonna trade Whitney Merciless because they already did a deal with him. They are going to owe him money if they trade him. But trading JJ Watt is probably the smart decision.
I mean,
they want to get him first.
But we got more experience on the line though.
Yeah, but I kinda like Charles Amenihu that's coming up right now. He's a really good, like you saw him from last year. He made some plays. He made plays. When it came down to it, he made some plays. And
when he had playing time, you know, I mean, every time he would start to, you know, apply kind of pressure, Bill O'Brien just pulls him out. I feel like he doesn't know when to play players. He's just a bad play caller in general, and I'm ready for Houston to get rid of him.
Yeah, well, I think everybody here in Houston is ready to get rid of him as well. That's going on. And then also you got the free agency that's going big port. And you still have some names like Everson Griffin is still there. And Logan Ryan's still there in the free agency.
Mobile,
but that still, that's still the experience.
He for sure would be healthy because he was off last season. So he took a whole season off to get his body recovered. And he's ready to play.
So it's just, and you also got Logan Ryan. Like, the Texans need to pick him up. Because, I mean, yeah, Bradley Roby is really good at his position. But, you know, Gerrion Conley, you know, here and there he gets hiccups. Lonnie Johnson, I want to see what he does in his second year. The way I look at it, at the Instagram and everything
physical.
Like that, he's been playing and been training a
personally,
lot.
Personally, I don't like Lonnie Johnson. I feel like he's going to have to show me something. Because last year, to me, he just caused way too many penalties. And he gave up way too many big plays when it counted. I just felt
especially
like
that Hunter Renfro play right there against the Oakland Raiders. We were supposed to dominate that team.
Yeah,
but that,
and in the playoffs, he was just getting killed by Travis Kelce all game.
There's certain safeties that can guard Travis Kelce and slow him down, but the thing is like, if you don't have, like, I mean, you can never slow down the freaking Kansas City Chiefs offense, no matter how hard you try. I mean, the 49ers had a great defense. They had a great defense. They had a great safety. They had a great cornerbacks. They had great linebackers. And they definitely had great defensive ends.
And they especially picked it up second half of the season. Now, you could say the first 6 weeks, their defense was, you know, kind of
underdeveloped.
Yeah, but once they got into that rhythm and they started stopping teams. And, I mean, they weren't stopping teams every down, but they were good when it counted, especially on third downs and red zone defense. So, you know, that's where it really counts.
Now, remember, who's the one that got traded to the Indianapolis Colts from the 49ers? I'm trying to remember
his DeForest name. Buckner.
DeForest Buckner. Oh, yeah.
Defensive tackle.
Yeah, see, like, that's what I think that the Indianapolis Colts is probably going to be a really beast team, especially when they sign Phillip Rivers.
They're for sure going to give the Texans trouble. I feel like we might split the series with them this year.
So,
what's the division going to look like, though, is the question.
Well, of course, Jaguars is going to be last in the division because they're just giving rid of players. Ngakoue wants to leave right now because it's very, I guess.
What do you think?
I personally think, you know, the Tennessee Titans rushed signing Ryan Tannehill because, you know, everybody plays good when they're playing for that big money contract. And, yeah, he did play good, but
he didn't play good when it counted. When he faced off the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
Even the Texans, he looked bad.
Even with the Texans, he didn't play like
he was supposed to be there.
He was throwing 8 passes a game. But all they were doing was handing it off to Derrick Henry. Now, Derrick Henry is a beast, but at the same time, you gotta distribute the load. You got AJ Brown, you got Corey Davis going out there. They have a good weapons, but you don't have a good quarterback can throw it to them. So there's also that's coming up is that the draft. And especially, I mean, we already know Joe Burrow is going to be number one pick. Chase Young is going to be the number two pick.
But really after that, it kind of gets, you never know what can happen. Miami Dolphins, you don't know if they're still
trying to go for cornerbacks or going for Tua Tagovailoa. We don't know. I mean, there's that cornerback. I don't remember his name. He's from Ohio State. Was with Chase Young. That guy was a beast.
And Jeffrey Okuda.
He was supposed to be like top 5 pick, right?
I still think he is. I mean, the Lions have like I think pick 4 or 5, and they just traded away Darius Slay. So I mean, I think their top priority for sure is corner first thing off the board, and he's the number one corner this year, so he's gonna go first.
The Eagles could be doing something though. I mean, you look at it, I mean, Darius Slay is now the cornerback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And they got the corner from the Los Angeles Rams, Nickel Roby.
Yeah, and
now they're secondary.
They're fixing it.
They're fixing it.
Last year, it was crazy.
Terrible.
Bad. It was crazy.
But
bad.
The reason why they didn't come back a lot of the games is because Nelson Aguilar dropping the passes. Yeah. Alshon Jeffries not staying healthy.
And then when
he came in, he would freaking drop the pass as well.
They reached so bad for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, too. He just had a really...
Carson Wentz is a great quarterback. He's going to be great, but the thing is you're not going
to
get
it.
You have to have the weapons.
Yeah, his best receiver on his team is his tight end, and he needs receivers. Yeah.
And also his running back was at Jordan Howard, right? Jordan Howard is on the Eagles, right? So, I mean, they have weapons, but the Alshon Jeffery is getting too old. And he also had Nelson Aguilar that
drops
passes all the time. Like, when the big game came in, like, drops it right then and there. We're going to also continue. Like, there is the Texans, right? What do you think, Chris, that we're going to pick up in the second round, in the 40th pick?
I think we for sure have to go corner, lock up that defensive back position. I think we should take either AJ Terrell from Clemson or CJ Henderson if we can land him. You know, that would be that would be a steal if they slip to the second round.
Now, definitely, they were all saying that we needed to get that Boise State defensive end.
Curtis Weaver.
Curtis Weaver. He's a beast. That man is a beast. I mean you can't say anything about it.
He had 33 and a half sacks in 3 seasons. I mean, he's had double-digit sacks every season.
But I don't think we need to get a defensive end right away. I mean, I trust Charles Aminihu. That man, he could play.
We still got J.J. O'Reliable there.
And we still got Whitney Merciless. I mean, we lost D.J. Reader to the Bengals.
We signed Tim Jernigan, though.
But we signed Tim Jernigan to kind of fill up that spot. Another big old boy to stuff the run.
When he's healthy, he could play. So,
yeah, and then we also have who's that cornerback that came from the Chargers that we just signed?
Trevor Williams?
No, not Trevor Williams. It was
Jalen Watkins. Yeah. Sammy Watkins, his brother.
I think he could do good if he just needs a little bit more development.
Yeah, I think he's he could become a starter. I just feel like he might have to change his position because I say probably to a safety because I feel like he's a better tackler. You know, his cover skills ain't so great, but I think he's a safety, he's a way better tackler than he is in out in coverage.
So, Lorenzo, you're a Cowboys fan, right? What do you think about this certain situation that with Dak Prescott coming in with the contract and everything like that? What do you think? How much money do you think he deserves? And why do you think he just decided to not accept this contract, this big contract?
I personally believe he's being really greedy right now. Yes, he is a very talented player.
Multiple yards, like
he was a very talented player.
He was second in the yardage. Jameis Winston was above him, which I mean, you look at it. I mean, you had Dak Prescott, and you had Jared Goff. I mean, but still, I mean. Dak Prescott did through like what 30 touchdowns this season or something like that. He did pretty good with Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb on the team and with Jason Witten as a tight end.
Michael Gallup is there too.
Michael Gallup was pretty good too. Yeah.
I don't think that matters. Like you got to look at.
Well, from his production last year, he doesn't have anything to prove. I mean, he's been a solid quarterback. He's had good stats every year.
He's been a conservative quarterback. This is his first year that he actually kind of blew
up.
He pushed the ball a little bit more down the field.
He doesn't deserve to get paid the highest because, you know, I don't think no game manager deserves to get paid the highest.
Except if your name is Kirk Cousins.
The Dolphins Vikings are stuck in a situation with him that they probably want to get out of. I wouldn't be surprised if they take a late-round quarterback either.
Yeah, no, they're looking at defensive ends as well, right? They want to get another person on the other side of DeMarcus Lawrence, right? I mean, they got a great linebacker core with Sean Lee and Van Der Esch. So,
I mean, they have Dante Repo.
They also signed Dontari Poe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Clinton Dix.
They got Xavier Woods back there also. I mean,
Xavier Woods is on the Indianapolis Colts, right?
No, Xavier Woods is still there. Xavier Woods is there.
Oh, he's there?
Mm-hmm. He's their free safety, and I'm pretty sure they brought in HaHa to play strong safety.
So
I think that's a good pick.
There was a bad, I guess, y'all let go. Not let go, but y'all didn't sign the same contract with Bryce Jones, right? Or Byron Jones.
He left. He just wanted to get paid too much
money. Dolphins looking nice, though. Dolphins are looking nice.
Yeah, Dolphins are making moves.
Pick up Tua, which they're saying they're probably going to pick up Justin Hibbert, which Justin Hibbert is pretty, he's okay. He's not bad, but he's not like.
I personally don't like him. I don't think he has He doesn't have the touch for a quarterback that you need to succeed at the next level.
I mean, what about Tua? Shouldn't his draft stock be like dropping because of his injury?
Yeah, they're saying that his draft stock is dropping because they don't trust his durability. Now, there's a lot of rumors that saying that the Patriots maybe go get Tua Tagovailoa, and that would be crazy, to be honest.
Bill Belichick lands Tua. That
fracture just.
I think he could work with him.
Displaced his draft stock.
Yeah, of course. I mean, especially what Nick Saban said, that he said the only thing that he needs to work on is durability. He said that he was just injured so much because he tried to make so much plays. Try to extend the play. Like all the quarterbacks is nowadays, I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. They're able to extend the plays, but I see that Tua kind of extend the play too long. When I saw his injuries, he tries to run backwards as far, like really far out, And then that's the reason why he got that hip injury, because, I mean, yeah, he was running and then someone hit him right behind, and then that was it. He had to get carried off and everything like that for that hip injury. So, yeah, no, that Tua probably going to go to the Patriots. I mean, everybody was tanking for Tua, but Tua was tanking for everybody, yeah, by getting hurt and everything like that.
I mean, I think he kind of wanted to rise in the draft stock once he showed the workout at his pro day. I think he made really good throws. He didn't look
look hurt. Yeah. He looked great.
His hip looked good. They had him rolling out of the pocket. They had to make him good throws on the
run. And he is accurate as heck too. That guy is.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's gonna be a starting quarterback for anyone that drafts him eventually. But
I mean, what
it's
about
all
Cam
about
Newton?
If he gets to the goes to the right situation.
Cam Newton.
Hey, what about Cam Newton?
Cam Newton's going to come and take somebody's starting job.
He's got to.
As soon as the first quarterback, like a first starting quarterback, gets hurt on anybody's team, I think Cam Newton's going to be the first quarterback called.
The one thing that Cam Newton needs to prove is the same with Tua Tagovailoa.
Durability.
Well, Cam Newton can improve his durability if he doesn't just run so much. Cam Newton can.
If he's not trying to be like a running back and trying to truck everybody, he would be fine.
He can pass and he can run anybody's offense. I mean, he's a perfect transitional quarterback. He has an arm to air raid. He has an okay enough accuracy to play in a West Coast offense.
Yeah.
And he for sure can run a power run offense.
I mean, the Patriots are looking at him. I mean, the Bengals was looking at him at first, but then they were like, nah, we got Joe Burrow.
I personally think if Jacksonville goes out there and makes a move for him, that they're going to be.
You don't trust Gardner Minshew?
Personally, I don't like Gardner Minshew. I think he wasn't that good to me. He kind of forces it.
He actually did great in the beginning until he faced off the Texans in the London game, and then that was downhill from that point on. And once they started figuring out Gardner Minshew, it was over. They started picking him off left and right. They realized he really couldn't throw the ball deep. I mean, they had DJ Chark, and they also had D.D. Westbrook. They have good receivers, but just. He just can't throw the ball.
All they really need is a quarterback, and they'll be good.
Yeah,
I mean, you heard about the Nick Foles one, right? I mean, that was crazy, too. I mean, I thought Cam Newton was going to go to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
But for what I'm hearing, and it was hilarious when I was looking at the Twitter, there was a lot of things they were saying that the GM is racist.
I mean, this is just...
Like, it was hilarious. Like, please, like, we want our owner to fire the GM. We're in the same situation with the Texans. We want to fire our head coach / GM right now. But, you know, they were saying that, like, they could have got Deshaun Watson. They could have got Patrick Mahomes. They could have got a lot of quarterbacks that, you know, that actually was succeeding right now. They could have got Cam Newton, but they got Nick Foles. Like, what the heck they're thinking now?
I mean, he was a Super Bowl quarterback, but
But
I don't know, he just...
You remember, like, it's momentum. That was the reason why Nick Foles did great. It was just that momentum because Carson Wentz set that tone. Yeah. They were going off.
Until he tore his ACL.
Yeah, until he tore his ACL. And
then, I mean, they were 11-0 with him at starter. I mean, until he got hurt.
And he carried the momentum to the Super Bowl.
You know, Nick Foles didn't really have to do nothing. I mean, they could have probably lost out the rest of the season and still got to the playoffs, so... and I don't know what really happened that Super Bowl. The Patriots defense just fell apart once they just lost all confidence.
Same goes with the Eagles.
Once they started making that comeback.
Eagles defense was falling apart as well. I mean, you look at
the Eagles had no corners last year though. The Eagles had no corners.
Their secondary
was
they were really,
really
old.
Their secondary was really weak. I mean, they cut Malcolm Jenkins, so I mean they're going in a whole new.
And didn't like Malcolm Jenkins went
defense.
To the Saints or something like that? Yeah, no, he did went to the Saints. That's right. He did went to the Saints because I saw this meme. They were like, oh, he's his new teammate. And you see him flipping the bird at Sean Payton. He's like, I wonder how this is going to react, how this is going to turn out and everything like that. It was pretty hilarious.
Malcolm Jenkins is still good. I feel like he has about 2 good years left in him, but he's already kind of old. And I don't know how long his time is going to be with the Saints, but he'll for sure bring a good leader, veteran presence to the secondary. I mean, they still got young. They're still pretty young out there. Marshawn Lattimore and Eli Apple. So I feel like he could help them on some tips and just some help.
Manti
Te'o
is also up there too. I mean, he's okay.
Manti Te'o had a
pretty good
season last year.
So we're going to go to the next segment because we're pretty much doing too long on the NFL part. But second thing is the NBA. Now, this has been a very big debate about who should win Rookie of the Year. Ja Morant or Zion Williamson?
Ja Morant.
Personally, Ja Morant.
I really think Ja Morant. if Zion would have put the Pelicans to the playoffs, Zion had.
I mean, he was hurt for like.
But still, like if he was hurt for that long and still was able to take the Pelicans to the playoffs because they were 12th seed at that time. He would still be able to take the Pelicans to the playoffs.
I
mean, if the season
continued, I think they would be a playoff contender.
I mean, look at Kendrick Nunn the first 20 games. Kendrick Nunn was looking like he was going to be Rookie of the Year, and then he just fell off. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. His shots weren't falling as consistent as they were.
Maybe it's because it's the rookie ball. Like sometimes it's just like you're just tired and you just can't play anymore. You can't play when you're tired. I mean, same goes with Tyler Hero, but Tyler Hero is the bench. He's on the bench. So he's getting rest. He's not getting that much PT, but he's showing out in the big moments, but he has so much energy because he's not running the team like Kendrick Nunn is.
Well, eventually, I think Tyler Hero will take that starting spot. I mean, he's good enough to be a starter in the NBA. And
I think he'll move over to
shooting guard and have Jimmy at small forward.
Yeah.
Tyler Hero is going to be like, I mean, yeah, you have Jimmy Butler at shooting guard, but he's going to play small forward. Jimmy Butler runs that team.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero, but they really had a virtually the same team from last year, and they didn't still do anything. I mean, I still see that Jimmy Butler is a winner. I mean, whatever team he went to, I mean, you look at the Timberwolves. Without him, when he went to the Timberwolves, when he was hurt with that meniscus injury, they went on a losing streak. They became the number 3 seed to the number 8 seed without Jimmy Butler. And then when Jimmy Butler came in, he gave the Rockets a hard time. He really did.
Jimmy Butler just plays with so much heart that he boosts everybody else on the court, and he wants, you know, they strive to play good.
That's the reason why. That's the reason why I thought that was the perfect team for Jimmy Butler, because all of them wants to work. I mean, you got Bam Adebayo, Goran Dragic, Tyler Hero. They were pretty good. I mean, you had James Johnson at that time until he got traded. I think that Jimmy Butler is a winner. I really believe so. I mean, especially he even said it when he left the Philadelphia 76ers. He said the Philadelphia 76ers doesn't have a leader. They don't know who's controlling the locker room. I mean, you got Ben Simmons, you got Joel Embiid.
They're all good players.
They're all good players, but who's controlling the locker room? That's the reason why the 76ers is on a slope right now. And the same thing with the Rockets. I mean, the Rockets has a leader, but the thing is that we're so used to James Harden carrying the load to a point. Like, James Harden needs to stop just stepping back and like, all right, just let Russell Westbrook handle it. Like, no.
He needs
to
stay involved, you know, at all times, yeah. You know, not just sit back
He
and
just
watch.
Gave Russell Westbrook just, you know, here, this is your team.
He used to have been, he wants to win. He, you know, he, all these years when we watched him in the Rockets, he wanted to win.
Yeah, but now like he's trying to take like a back road this season, you know, because like, oh, Westbrook's here, I don't have to do as, you know, try play as hard, but.
Or maybe he's smart. You know, Kawhi Leonard is doing game management or whatever?
Game load management.
That to a point, like, you know, it was sick and tired of Kawhi Leonard playing against big teams and then he's sitting out on the bench. But James Harden, maybe he's doing that in game, but it still is affecting us as a team in the Houston Rockets.
No, I don't believe he's doing that. I think that's just genuinely his mindset now. I think he's just got a losing attitude. He thinks that Russ is going to carry him and the team to the playoffs. It's like,
I understand. It's just, he's just saying, you know what, let me kick my feet back. Let Russell Westbrook do what he got to do. And the thing is that's not the reason why Russell Westbrook is here. Russell Westbrook,
we have two MVP candidates, well, two MVPs. One could take over at any time.
It's stupid to me because it's like, we didn't trade Russell Westbrook for this. We didn't trade for James Harden just as like, yeah, go ahead, Russ, you do your thing. Like, no, like, we got them together because they both were winners. They both wanted to win a title. They both want to do great things.
And they both have not won a ring yet.
And I would think
they would strive for more, I would say.
Maybe. I personally think it might just be the roster because the small ball lineup, I didn't like it. I still don't think it's going to work. It's going to be...
It gave us an underdog boost, and that's what we needed. But
we needed a big man.
We need a big man. In the playoffs, they're going to box out PJ Tucker. They're going to box out Robert Covington.
I mean, we're already losing on all boards and defense, but, you know, we're just hoping that we can score more than outscore every other team.
Yeah. And that's how we're playing. That's how we're playing. We're trying to outshoot everybody instead of being methodical, grab rebounds, play defense.
Start fast breaks.
Do our old 7-second offense that we used to do instead of iso ball. I think iso ball is just... You can't win with that. You can't win
regular season games, but when it gets to the playoffs, they're going to lock it.
Yeah, and that's...
They're going to figure it out, and then...
They're going to slow it down. They're going to...
Yeah, they're gonna slow it down. They're gonna have great defenders, and they're awesome. They're not gonna like. I mean, they tried that method with last year with Utah Jazz, trying to play him from behind or keep him on his left side.
Yeah, I personally think that was stupid. That's terrible defense.
That is terrible. But then once we played against the Warriors, they played it well. They played it well.
I mean, they had
because
KD,
the Warriors have such a versatile lineup that any player on their team starting lineup can guard every position. I mean, if they want to, they can play Draymond at the 5 and KD at the 4 when he was there, and they guarded everybody.
So, y'all heard about the new All-Star. There was this new rule. Y'all watched Jimmy Highroller, right? He had this whole segment about the All-Star break, and they were saying that they were going to change it. They were going to try to change to where it's going to be like a tournament. It's going to be like that. And it's... It's a big discussion about it. They're actually right now, they almost had this thing where there's going to be no conferences. But then they realized during the playoffs, you know, West teams going to East and everything like that, it's going to be too tiring for them. And so then they're going to have a lot of jet lag from it.
The mentally, what they were thinking mentally was to take the two best teams and put them in the finals. Not the two best, East and West. I think that would be cool to do that, you know, but...
But as soon as they put that on the table, they're like, nope, we're not doing it today. We're not doing it because it's bad for the players' health.
So who do you
think? I personally think the NBA should add another All-Star event, which should be a one-on-one tournament. I mean, I think that would be really
cool. That would be really cool, to be honest. And
I think they can make the games quick, you know, play to 7, you know, mm-hmm. half court. You know, and just...
All right. So,
like, the skills competition... What's the point of that? I mean, yeah, they're very skillful, but, like, come on now, like...
I think the best...
It's so stupid. Like, I don't see the point of it. I mean, the three-point contest, yeah, and the dunk contest, but the dunk contest is getting boring now.
We've already seen a lot of dunks.
I mean, what else dunks can you do? I mean, everything's been...
Really done.
Done, yeah.
I mean, last year, this year's was pretty good. I mean, Eric Gordon got robbed from Dwayne Wade's thing.
Twice.
He already got robbed from Shaq and now for freaking D Wade now. So, you know, that was the discussion that they're saying that they were going to put it in tournaments now, that to a point where I'm guessing if you win the tournament that you're going to get a top seeding or something. There was something they were saying that there was going
to
happen.
All right, so who do you think is going to make it to the finals? If we continue, who do you think is going to make it? Personally, I would think it would be the Lakers and...
Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee or Raptors.
Milwaukee's for sure going there. Giannis was unstoppable this season.
Yeah, I'm about to say, the Raptors are very, very underrated.
The Raptors actually did go on a large winning streak. I mean, Pascal has been carrying the team. I mean, he's for sure looking like a leader on that team.
Well, what if you have a team like the Bucks?
I mean,
the Bucks is just so dominant. Like, that man is crazy.
But it wouldn't be so, most
definitely.
I personally think Pascal would match up well against Giannis. I feel like, you know, they could play off. You know, they could sim and sag on him, just like how everybody forces Giannis to shoot. Giannis can pop threes this year, but, you know, he's not consistent with it still. Mm-hmm. He's still uncomfortable taking jump shots. You know, he'd rather drive.
I mean, Kyle Korver is still teaching him how to shoot threes, but at the same time, he still doesn't have that touch yet. That he's still hesitating on his shots. You could see it. Like, it just... He doesn't have that natural
want to drive and
that
shoot.
That one motion shot, like just that the beautiful shot that Kyle Korver has, JJ Redick, all the famous shooters, Reggie Miller and everything like that.
Klay Thompson.
Back to that matchup. Giannis versus Pascal would be a murder for Pascal. Like, Giannis is way too strong, way too fast. way too explosive. Pascal just can't compete.
The thing is, it's not going to be the players versus players, but it's going to be coach versus coach. I mean, Mike Budenholzer, and you also have the Toronto Raptors coach. What's his name? I can't remember his name. He was the G League and everything like that.
Frank Vogel? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think that's his name. We'll just call him the Toronto Raptors coach. But they're very, like, they're like geniuses when it comes down to offense and defenses. I mean, you look at it, the Raptors, if you took out Kawhi, I mean, they were going to lose against a Golden State Warriors, but without Kawhi Leonard, they were going to... What's up?
Nick Nurse is a great head coach, actually, the Raptors head coach. He had a great defense, you know, once he came in. He just changed the whole team and the way that they are. You know, they started playing really good defense, and he got everybody... on that team,
he's actually looking like the Boston Celtics when Kyrie Irving was hurt, but even better. Like, I don't know how you, like, Pascal Siakam just came out of nowhere in the playoffs and start doing great.
And he made an All-Star game this year.
And Fred VanVleet, like, you look at him, that dude is what, 6'1", and he is dominating the point guard position in the East.
He can shoot, yeah.
I mean, you look, and then Serge Ibaka, too. I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup with the Toronto Raptors and the Bucks. I really believe that the Bucks is going to make it to the finals. Now, the thing is that we're going to also have to really discuss is there's a lot of good teams in the West. I mean, you've got Dallas Mavericks. I'm not going to put the Rockets in there yet because they haven't proved me anything yet about it. The Clippers, the Lakers. Like, it's, I mean... You could Portland throw any team. Portland. No, Portland's actually doing bad this year.
Yeah.
You think about it.
They're underachieving a lot.
There are. They have Carmelo and they have CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. But they still, like, they don't, like, it's not like them anymore. Like, they were not playing together anymore. Like, they're looking like they're trying to prove Carmelo Anthony, like, he can still play basketball. That's what I think it kind of happens.
I mean, he can, but, like,
but he needs a team by himself. Even then, he needs to be on the bench.
I think Carmelo needs to play a Vince Carter role.
Yeah, that's what I think. He needs to be on the bench.
Corner all day and shoot threes.
Yeah. I mean, the Clippers is a great team. They're just a great team.
Paul George, Beverly,
Kawhi Leonard, everything like that. I think the Clippers is going
to
be.
So, finals results. Who do y'all think is going to go to the finals?
Okay, so everybody, before we move on to the next segment, for everybody, finals prediction, Dom, go.
Clippers, Bucks. I think Bucks is. No, Clippers is going to win this one. I think the Clippers are going to win this one 4-2.
Zane?
I would say it's the Bucks and the Lakers. 4-0. No, not 4-0. Heck no.
Sweep?
4-3. It's going to go to game 7. Giannis is not going to let a 4-0 sweep happen.
I see the Lakers and Bucks. Bucks taking it 4-2.
4-2, okay.
I would love to see if the Rockets can actually pull this off, the small ball lineup. And if they can get there, it's going to be a tough matchup against the Bucks.
Yeah.
The Bucks are for sure being, I mean, they're the best team. In their conference, they're for sure gonna get there.
They're the best team in the league.
Yeah, best team in the league. All right, so we were going a little too long on the NBA. Now we're gonna go to the next segment, is UFC or MMA. And so there's this fight, this hype fight, UFC 249, Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. Me personally, I think Tony Ferguson was gonna beat Khabib because he's great in stand up. Khabib, he's okay. He's decent on the stand-up. If he catches you slacking, he's going to knock you out. You know what I'm saying?
I personally think his boxing is just a little too sloppy for Tony Ferguson.
I mean, he did pull out of the fight, right?
Yeah, he's pulled out of the fight a lot. And
but remember, they postponed it. They postponed it because of the California senator that decided to say, no, you're not going to take anybody that's from California.
I mean, he did buy an island for it, but...
Yeah, I mean, he did buy an island, but they still canceled it. The California
Russia won't let Khabib leave.
I mean, they
because
did.
They had this shelter in place put in for the whole entire country. That's what happened.
So that's why he pulled out.
That's the reason why he pulled out because
he couldn't travel over here.
You really can't blame Mans. You got to blame the country, if anything. Like,
I mean, he did out of his. he did get the opportunity to travel because of the agreement with Dana White and Vladimir Putin.
No, that was actually fake.
It was?
Yeah, that was actually fake with the...
So he's still in Russia?
The Hawani, that was a fake account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was at a fake account. Hawani just posted on it and says, do not believe whatever that guy says, because he's saying anything. Like, he was like saying some random stuff, like talking about, Adesanya. Yeah, Adesanya and Paulo Costa is going to fight in UFC 249, which Hawani was like, no, that's not the case. That's not going to happen.
I personally think that Khabib and Tony Ferguson fight. I feel like if Tony Ferguson can keep it standing, of course, you know, he's going to win. But nobody has Khabib's, you know, ground level. Nobody's close.
No one does. That man is dominant.
The only thing Tony Ferguson is good enough to is to good enough to not get beat up on the ground and good enough to get back up.
Is he like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
He's pretty comfortable.
Yeah, he's there.
But still, I mean,
he's very aggressive off his back. You know, he throws up a lot of submissions.
But still, Khabib is still like one of the best.
He's just the most superior fighter on the ground.
I mean, he's what, 28-0?
Yeah. Yeah, beat Conor in the ground too. He put him down.
I mean, Conor, he's not much of a ground fighter. That's why he could just really.
Yeah,
just...
I mean, yeah, he exploited Conor's weakness, that fight, and you know everybody does when Conor's in there. He's
stamina. That's all it is. That's the reason why Conor. Sometimes if you put him in five rounds, that's it. He's not gonna survive it. He's going
Conor's
to lose.
Throws so hard, a lot too many times to where he gasses himself out. He's always throwing heavy punches, always looking for big shots.
So there's this next... This recently just happened, and the John Jones incident.
Oh, my God.
I personally believe that, you know, John Jones should just... They should just strip his title and not let him back in the UFC, because this is, what, the fourth time already?
Yeah,
he's been arrested twice. And
too many incidents, and he's been given already enough chances. I feel like his time is done.
He just dropped, charges? So now he's just under house arrest?
Yeah,
that was very saddening, to be honest, because it's like he knew what he was doing. I mean, yeah, maybe he was drunk, but he knew what he was getting himself into. I really believe that the UFC should just not, you know,
he was
stripped him from
guns.
The title, give it to Dominic Reyes. Dominic Reyes.
He really deserves it.
He really deserves it, to be honest.
He kind of picked him apart.
He put up a very good fight against John Jones.
It was just a bad incident.
It wasn't too much, you know, one-sided. I felt like
they both had it.
It was just a bad incident with the judges because, I mean, one of the judges scored 4-1 for John Jones to win.
And what, didn't even watch it?
And didn't even watch it. I mean, you saw it from the Joe Rogan article that he was like, he wasn't even watching the fight. Like, he was so mad after the press conference and everything like that. He was just so mad because some judge said 4-1 John Jones was going to win that one.
No, just basically that's how he got his win.
I personally believe that if they do give it to Dominic, he's not going to hold it for longer. He's a very young talent. I think with the championship, he'd get in his head. He's like, oh, I'm the champion, you know. He'd get in his head.
I don't think
not so. Only that.
I think it
went
on for a while.
How do I word this?
There's a fighter named Thiago Santos.
He wouldn't feel two. Like he earned it. And technically,
Thiago Santos has scary power.
Oh my gosh, that dude! He gave John Jones a great time when that in the octagon.
I mean, you could tell every time he hit John Jones, it hurt him. So, you know, he's.
I mean, same goes with Dominic Reyes.
He put up a very good fight.
I mean, that's gonna be the fight right there. That's gonna be the fight for the championship belt for the light heavyweight is gonna be Dominic Reyes and Thiago Santos.
I really think Dominic Reyes.
Crazy powerful people that just has that striking ability.
Dominic Reyes is, in my opinion, more technical than any heavyweight besides John Jones.
Yeah. I mean, John Jones was also planning to go to the heavyweight too. To fight Stipe Miocic.
That one or two titles, I'm guessing.
He was going to try to...
If John Jones were to pack on a lot of muscle, he'd be scary.
That'd be beautiful.
There was a lot of incidents. There was
a
lot of
rumors.
He's
long enough to succeed in the heavyweight.
Yeah, he is.
There was a lot of rumors saying that John Jones was going to go heavyweight, right, to go fight Stipe Miocic. But then they were saying that...
What about Israel Adesanya?
They were going to talk about fighting Israel Adesanya.
Was
going
that
going to
be, what,
the middle
2021?
Yep, Israel Adesanya said that 2021 he wants to go fight John Jones at the Las Vegas Raiders Stadium. But Israel Adesanya says I want to fight for my belt first before I fight John Jones. And John Jones wanted to fight Israel Adesanya right away. And Israel Adesanya said, "Oh, come down to my weight, and we'll fight. I have no problem with that." And I think Israel Adesanya has a chance to beat John Jones. They're both technical. They're both great strikers. They're both.
I feel like I don't think Israel Adesanya would do much damage. I feel like for him to jump.
John Jones is powerful because how lengthy and how big he was, and he's been so used to the power for light heavyweights.
Okay, so back to UFC 249. Who would you think, if this fight were to go on
with Tony Ferguson and Khabib? UFC 249 that they were going to include another title fight, and they were potentially looking at...
Was it Kamaru Usman?
No, it was Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz.
Oh, Dominic. Yeah, that's right. Dominic Cruz coming out of retirement after that. Dominic Cruz was coming out of retirement. He said,
I personally still think Henry Cejudo would win because Henry Cejudo is just... Okay, he's just been beasting. He's on another level right now.
But who would win in the main event? Who would you think? If that went on, Tony Ferguson and Khabib,
I'd say...
Who would win?
I'm going to say Tony Ferguson.
I'd say Tony Ferguson.
The man's a freak.
I'd say that's going to be a war. I'd say probably fifth round TKO.
Ooh. I'd say fourth decision. I'd say go to decision for Khabib.
I don't know. For me, it's like Tony Ferguson is very comfortable on the ground. And that's where the fight, it's going to take place on the ground. You know, you got a great wrestler with Khabib. So...
Tony Ferguson also has a great ground defense, though. I mean, he's going to be able to get back to his feet. You know, Khabib's not just going to hold him there, control him there.
But Khabib took down a man, I forgot how many times in one round. It was like 12?
I really don't remember.
It was a massive amount. Granted, the guy was, he was just trash, but... Khabib's just an animal whenever it comes to wrestling. It's going to be on the ground.
There was another fight that was supposed to be... They were talking about that Tony Ferguson was probably going to be out, right, with the Khabib fight. But they were also talking about Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal. That was going to be a great fight. I think Jorge Masvidal deserves a chance for the title, and I think he would win against Kamaru Usman. I really believe so, because, Kamaru Usman... you can kind of see the similarities with Kamaru Usman and GSP. They have the same type of styles, but... The thing is about Kamaru Usman, he's not a great striker.
I'm sorry. It wasn't 12. It was 21 times in one fight.
Ooh, my God.
That is insane.
Khabib is just that superior than other fighters.
He's an elite wrestler.
That's crazy.
But back to the Kamaru Usman, but I think, you can kind of say the comparisons with Kamaru Usman and GSP, but the thing is Kamaru Usman is not very good striking. He'll put you when he puts you down on the ground. He'll beat you from there. But when
I don't know. I feel like they just had so much beef, bad blood. They don't like each other. I feel like it would Kamaru would be kind of forced to stand with him, and he'd want to trade and strike with him. And I think that's where he'd get caught. And
that's what he did with Kobe Covington.
Game.
Yeah.
That's what Kamaru Usman did with Kobe Covington.
You're not gonna win a mental warfare with Jorge Masvidal.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
Gonna talk shit and keep moving forward.
I really believe that Jorge Masvidal is going
to... Jorge Masvidal will for sure win. I'd probably say if title fight...
But he has some scary opponents from the welterweight. You have...
Either going to be technical knockout for third round or...
You have Leon Edwards. Was it the number four spot on the welterweight?
I personally think Leon Edwards is overhyped. I don't think he's that good. Yeah, he has a good mouthpiece on him. That's how he worked his way up to where he's at right now. To me, he really hasn't beaten anybody. He's had like one or two guys, in the top 10. But other than that, he's really hasn't beaten anybody. He still has a lot to prove to me.
You also still have Stevie Wonderboy Thompson. He still has a chance to hit the welterweight title. He's getting old, but this is his last chance to push it through.
He could go like Yoel, make one last run and then... That's it.
I mean, after the Yoel Romero fight, I don't think he's ever going to get a title chance ever again.
No, Yoel Romero, for sure. Not after, because Dana White seemed really pissed at Yoel Romero after that fight. And he kind of blamed it on Yoel Romero, threw it on Yoel Romero for making the fight boring. But I personally think Israel was doing a lot of running that fight, too.
I think it's a certain situation.
Nobody wants to stand in the pocket.
No one does. Definitely not.
But he was doing a lot more running. You can just search up, videos,
he was running. But
videos
was
of him, just trying to running run. A lot during the fight.
But also, in the first two rounds, he was running. I will admit that. I'm a big Israel Adesanya fan. He was running in the first two rounds. He was trying to find his rhythm. But then when he came in the third round, he started putting pressure on him. You know, doing axe kicks into the face. There was a lot of kicks. Like, you can search it through. That he cleaned, hit, like, just hit Yoel in the face with his kicks. Yoel just looked at him like, what's up? Like,
you can't, leg kicks.
You can't knock out Yoel. I really believe that neck. I think after that surgery, after he broke his neck, they did something to his neck. I really believe so. So we're just gonna wrap it up. We're gonna wrap it up with
top five athletes.
Our definition of top five for their athletes.
What's the definition of
an athlete?
So my definition is longevity, explosiveness, and just a freak of nature. Just a freak of nature. So really, we're gonna take out. There's certain categories with athletes. I mean, you can look at. You could put Tiger Woods, all that stuff. That's not a freak of nature. That's what they're great in sports. They're great athletes of
their
sports.
They've won a lot. Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, people that could just go crazy. Like, they can play multi-sports and everything like that. And that's my definition of
I do agree with that.
So, okay, number one athlete,
Oh, he's definitely
up there. Yoel Romero, how old he is, that is a crazy athlete.
He broke his neck.
He's
still fighting. Come on.
Yeah, they said it on the interview. They were like, how the heck, Yoel? Like, the doctor says he's not supposed to be walking, and he's fighting. And the way how explosive he is, that's crazy. That is really crazy.
Another crazy thing is, what about Giannis? He's MVP numbers twice, but think he's... He's moving like a guard.
Yeah, Giannis is very athletic. Okay, Dom. Top five athletic players. Go.
Bo Jackson. This is not gonna be an order. I don't wanna do it in order right now.
You just contradicted yourself with that one. If you're saying longevity, Bo Jackson was taken out with a hip
another injury. Hip dislocation.
Yeah, but that at the end of his career. Longevity meaning you're able
that
to
ended
play
his career.
Through
that
yeah.
Ended his career.
No, but that's not the definition of longevity. That happened badly. That happened. I mean, but the thing is that Bo Jackson played for a long time with injuries and everything like that and still played through concussions and everything like that. That's what I consider with longevity. He played, 8 years, right? And then that hip injury happened and that was it. But then he was able to be multi-talented and play baseball and actually, be an all-star in the baseball, mm-hmm. in a baseball game? So, I mean, that's what I think of that Bo Jackson.
Okay,
should
so
be one of them.
Keep naming your five.
Giannis definitely should be in there. Deion Sanders should definitely be in there. Michael Jordan, and then you also have.
I would say Kobe.
I would say Will Chamberlain. I mean, we had an argument about this before, but then there's a lot of ups and downs. I mean, you think about it. Will Chamberlain was just a freak of nature in general.
Scoring 100 points.
But at the same time, you know, that 100 points, he didn't really prove to what he wanted to be. Like, he didn't win that much championships like Bill Russell did. So, at the same time, I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs with Will Chamberlain. But, you know, that 46-inch vertical, bench pressing 400-something pounds, something like that.
Okay, so I think my top five would be Giannis, Kobe, Jordan, Usain, and Barry Sanders.
Why Barry Sanders?
I mean, he was explosive because he had no O-line.
Okay.
He had no O-line, and he was making everybody miss.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, and why mostly basketball players? I mean, is there anything that you would like to switch out from any of those players?
I would think so because basketball, I would say, is you have to be more athletic in a lot of sports.
Okay. What's your top five, Chris?
Okay, I'd have to say LeBron because, you know, LeBron's just been the best for so long. And
he is
one of the top athletes when you look at an NBA. He's always been doing it. I'd have to say Russ would be in there. I mean, he's a Mr. Triple-Double.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Russ is there.
And Iron Man. He only been hurt once during the playoffs, and even then he'd never been hurt.
I mean, I'd say Michael Vick when he was playing. You know, he revolutionized the QB position,
mm-hmm.
you know, and GSP just for, you know, how explosive and dominant he was in the UFC for so long. And I don't know. I'd probably have to say Shaquille O'Neal just for the physical specimen he was, and
respect. That's respectful.
And Shaquille O'Neal actually was very athletic because no other center really could run the court like Shaquille O'Neal.
They were saying that he had 7% body fat in his rookie year. That's pretty good for a center, to be honest.
I believe it. When Shaquille O'Neal was in his prime, I believe it.
Yeah. All right. What's your top five?
My top five would have to be Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay.
LeBron.
Okay.
Joel, Bosh Rudin, and this one's interchangeable. I could say either Deion Sanders or DK Metcalf.
Oh yeah, DK Metcalf.
Oh yeah, DK Metcalf is a beast, though, to be honest. But to my honest opinion, I wouldn't put DK Metcalf on the top.
He's an athlete.
Don't get me wrong. Right, but the thing is, he only played 1 year.
But think of what he could do with Russell Wilson.
Oh no, of course. They're going to expand his role as well.
They get his chemistry, and we'll be good. And they'll be good.
Take him out of football, look at his speed.
Look at his size.
Look at his strength.
Oh yeah.
That's an athlete.
That is an athlete.
So he's in my list.
I would agree with that one. Yeah.
All right. So that's it for today. We have
This has been the Loud House Podcast. Thank you for everybody that tuned in. This is Chris signing off.
Dominic signing off.
Xander signing off.
Lorenzo signing off.
See y'all tomorrow.